As I said at the start, we're starting three Vision Sundays, looking ahead to next year and beyond, sharing some of the plans and dreams that we have as a church. And I'm hoping you'll catch the vision, share some of the excitement that I and others have. But we're also introducing the focus for next year, which is prayerfulness. We want this coming year to be a year in which we grow as individuals and as a community in our prayer life. We want to become a more prayerful people. So we'll have a shortish talk each of the 3 weeks on the theme of why pray. And today, why pray? Because it is essential. Why pray? Because it's essential. And there's a bit of an outline for the talk in your service sheets. Let me lead us in prayer now as we get started. Father, how we thank you that you are a God who wants to be in relationship with us, your people. Thank you that through Jesus, you've made that relationship possible. We thank you for the amazing privilege we have of opening your word in our own heart language, being able to hear you speak to us by your spirit through your word. And thank you that you're a God who loves to hear us speak to you in response, in praise and confession and prayer. And so over these weeks, and indeed over the coming year, we pray that you would grow us as a prayerful people. Please convince us of core truths that your word teaches us, and this morning of our utter dependence on you, that we might be driven to our knees. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you beseech the Lord? That's not a common word today, unless you watch a lot of period dramas. But in the 17th century, like the original Anglican prayer book, the Book of Common Prayer, you do a lot of beseeching. Let me read to you a prayer from the communion service in the BCP. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. I quite like the word beseech. It's kind of evocative, isn't it? It means to implore, even to beg, to plead, and contains the idea of asking with urgency and dependency. Do you beseech the Lord? You may not use that word, but do you beseech the Lord? Do you come to God with a deep sense of your powerlessness and utter dependence on Him? Because if you don't have that sense of dependence, you're unlikely to pray. Now, it's worth saying, this psalm that we're looking at this morning, and I should have said, we're really focusing in on Psalm 127, not particularly John 15. But this psalm isn't explicitly about prayer, but it is about our total dependence on God. And so a big application of the psalm is going to be to prayer. We're going to look at the psalm under two headings. Hopefully this matches what's in your service sheets. The futility of relying on ourselves and the blessing of relying on the Lord. We're not going to cover the whole psalm, despite the fact it's so short. We're going to focus on the first half. The opening line of the psalm is one that needs to be burned into our minds and hearts. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. We've already said it all together, but let's say it again. Just that opening line, say it with me. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Turn to your neighbor, say it to them or each other. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And three times in these first couple of verses, Solomon, the author, says our efforts are in vain. Verse 1, the builders labor in vain, the guards stand watch in vain, and in verse 2, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. In vain means that our efforts are useless, empty, worthless, wasted. As I said in the notices, we're asking people to make a personal discipleship plan, and as a church we're setting plans for the coming year. When we look back in a year's time, on our lives, as on the year that we've had as disciples, on the year that we've had as a church community, how awful it would be to conclude it was all in vain. It was all a waste of time. I'm afraid of that. As we undertake some pretty significant plans for the coming years, I'm scared of receiving this verdict, of getting to some point in the future, whether it's in a year or further down the line, and realizing all our efforts were in vain. When Solomon talks about building a house, he could be talking about, surprise, surprise, building a house. Or he could be talking about building a household or family. And that's what the second half of the verse, the psalm, talks more about. He could also be talking about building the house of God, the temple. We were thinking last week about building the Lord's house, the temple, and the application of that to our work today of building up the church of God. And so one definite application of this psalm is to the work of building the church. And Psalm 127 teaches us that it is useless to try and build the church or launch a new ministry unless God's in it, unless he's building, unless he's working. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Without God, our efforts are a complete waste of time. Now, I'm not sure I believe that. I wonder, do you? That without the Lord, all our efforts are a complete waste of time. That's what it says. That's what Jesus says. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing of any kingdom worth, at least. Nothing of any God-glorifying fruit. What does Jesus say? I'm the vine, you're the branches. Remain in me and you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, nothing. You can do nothing. He doesn't say, apart from me, you can still achieve about 50%. He doesn't say, apart from me, you can only achieve 20%. No, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that if we fail to be fully committed to prayer at every moment, that our efforts will be worthless, because God's incredibly gracious. And he often works through our efforts, even when we fail to acknowledge our dependence on him. What it means is that whether we're consciously dependent or not, this is the reality. It's his work. Anything of worth we achieve is entirely down to him, thanks to him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, I planted and Apollos watered, but God made it grow. And so we can't take any pride in the fruits that we produce or success that we achieve, whether that's here in the church or in the other fields of our lives. Anything good here at Barney's, any kingdom growth that we experience is ultimately thanks to God. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Solomon goes on, unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. See, we might say, you know, all these plans for growth, they sound a bit risky. Let's just protect what we have currently. But no, you can't even do that. It is useless to try and protect something, whether it's a city, a family, your possessions, a church. It's useless to try and protect something unless God is watching over. If we rely on ourselves, our efforts will be futile and we'll burn ourselves out. Verse 2 is a sober warning to many of us. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he, God, grants sleep to those he loves. Now, it's not that early mornings are bad or working long hours is always a bad thing. The application of Psalm 127 is not to stop working hard. You know, the Bible criticizes laziness. And we need to recognize there are seasons of life. Try telling a new mother or a medical intern that they're being ungodly because they're sleep deprived. No, I think the criticism of verse 2 is directed to the person who doesn't have to deprive themselves of sleep, but who thinks, wrongly, that everything depends on them, that it's all down to them. And so they slog their guts out, burning the candle at both ends, fearful that what they're building will fail unless they hold it together. The question isn't how hard are you working, but who are you trusting in? Who do you think this endeavor, whatever it is, depends on, ultimately? And let me say, it's not always easy to answer that question. Our hearts can be deceptive. We sometimes need others to gently question and correct us. I confess this is a danger for me. I've experienced burnouts before. I do not want to go there again. Now, that doesn't mean that we stop building for growth. It doesn't mean we stop pursuing a big vision. But it does mean we've got to do it relying on the Lord. So firstly, the futility of relying on ourselves. Secondly, the blessing of relying on the Lord. The Lord Jesus has promised to build his church. Nothing's going to thwart him achieving that purpose. And he is able, we're assured, able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine. I reckon I can imagine quite a lot. God can do immeasurably more. And so if God wants to prosper our plans as a church, he can do that, no sweat, far more than that. He may choose not to. And we may not know why. But we can trust him either way. That if we're building with him and for him, then our labors are not in vain. And that means that we can rest. We can sleep. We can Sabbath. At Barney's, we talk about being followers of Jesus who rest in God's grace and strive in God's power to love him and others. I love that phrase, and I think it captures what this psalm is talking about. You know, we strive, we work, we labor in God's power, relying on him, and we rest. We rest in his grace. We down tools. We recreate. We sleep. Sleep is a profound thing when you think about it. It's a daily reminder that we are not self-sufficient, that we depend on the Lord. Taking a day off, practicing Sabbath, it's an act of faith, isn't it? It's a tangible way of saying, this work that I'm engaged in the home, in the workplace, in the church, this work that I'm called to, it doesn't ultimately depend on me. It's good news, isn't it? Sometimes the most godly thing you can do is have a break. Take a holiday. Go to bed. And do that trusting that the Lord of the church, the King of the kingdom, the Father of his people, he's got it. It doesn't ultimately need you or me. So as we look ahead to 2026 and beyond, let's give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. But let's make sure we also sleep. Let's strive in God's power to love him and one another and our neighbors and the nations. And let's rest in God's grace. And let's pray. Let's pray. Let's be a prayerful people, acknowledging our complete dependence on God and beseeching him to do what only he can do. Let's have this psalm, the opening line at least, ringing in our ears and resonating in our hearts, reminding us of our utter dependence on God, and so driving us to our knees. I wonder if you would kneel with me now. Not if that's going to be painful or awkward, but if you can, I'm going to take the mic. If you can, let's kneel, because what we do with our bodies expresses something of what we believe, of the truth. So if you're able to, let's kneel, and I'll lead us in a prayer. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and pray. Lord God, we humble ourselves before you. We repent of our pride and our self-sufficiency. We acknowledge our utter, complete dependence on you. Father, we have ideas and dreams and plans, but Lord, unless you build, all our efforts are going to be in vain, a waste. And so we come to you now, and we beg you, we beseech and implore you to build, to protect, to bless us and to make us a blessing. We ask that in your grace and kindness and through your great power, you would continue to build your church here at Barney's and use us to build your kingdom here in this city and beyond. Please help us to be those who rest in your grace and strive in your power. Make us a prayerful people, and may all the glory go to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit again. And I'm going to keep on talking. The way it's going to work these 3 weeks is look at scripture, think about prayer, and then more practical vision, plans, etc. So I'm going to share something now of my heart, my dreams for Barney's. Let me say, these are my dreams, my vision, not necessarily God's or ours. Definitely not all going to happen in the next 12 months. And let me say, I want to hear what you think. Oh, yeah, Jade's questioning my belief in God's ability to do immeasurably more than, yeah. Maybe it will happen in the next 12 months. We're not planning for it. I want to hear what you think. And I'm expecting some pushback. That's fine. That's good. But I want you to be excited about the future here at Barney's and your part in it. I don't want you to be bored because there's nothing happening. And I don't want you to feel burdened because there's too much happening. I want all of us to see God's vision for this church, to see it clearly, pursue it passionately, and pray for it humbly, earnestly. Let me start by saying, and I'm a little bit cautious doing this, but I wonder if you realize the reputation that Barney's has around Adelaide and beyond. Last week, we had a number of people sharing about summer ministry opportunities. And I don't know about you, I found that so encouraging to hear about not only what God's doing all around the place, but what members of Barney's are engaged in and involved in beyond what we're doing here in Croydon. And not just involved in, but leading. You know, Johnny is the director of CE Camp, and Tom is on the committee. Lily, I learnt last night, was instrumental in founding Southern Cross Kids Camps, and Ash is now on the committee for that. Som was the main speaker at the Grace Girls Conference this year and emceed the CMS online dinner. Jack heads up CV Conference, a conference for people exploring vocational ministry. He founded Entrust for pastors to encourage them to be raising up new gospel workers. Kate and Jack lead the ministry apprenticeship program in South Australia. Kate's heading up the kids program at CMS conference this January. I am the state coordinator for the Mark Drama and recently been elected onto the Anglican Diocesan Council. And Karen, who's not here today, has been on the committee for the State Girls Friendly Society for years. Now, I'm sure there's others that I haven't mentioned, and I'm not trying to suggest that, you know, this is all that matters, these kind of ministry leadership roles. And I certainly don't want us to grow proud. But I do want to celebrate and give thanks to God for the ways he's using us in upfront roles and behind the scenes. You know, when people from other churches visit Barney's, they often are surprised how small this church is, because the presence and the impact of Barney's members around the city is so significant, they assume must be coming from this like really large church. You know, I'm not sure it's the right phrase to use, but like Barney's punches above our weight. What I do want to recognize and encourage you to recognize is we've got something really special here. We're not a perfect church. Please don't hear me say that. Far from it. But God has blessed us in amazing ways. I want to be humble about that. I want to make sure we give God all the praise for that. But I do want to celebrate it. And I want to build on that. I want us to continue to grow in the influence that we have within the diocese, within the city and beyond. I want us to pray big prayers. I want us to have godly ambition. I want us to be faithful in stewarding the many resources and gifts and blessings that God has given us. I'm also, at the same time, really conscious we are a small church and our capacity is limited. As we've been thinking, we need to make sure we're resting in grace, that we've got good patterns of sleep and Sabbath. But we also want to be striving to love. I want to pursue a God-sized vision. The God who can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Do you know, there are more and more churches in the Anglican Diocese who are facing closure. They're not many years off reaching that point where they have to close the doors and sell the building. We need more leaders. We need more gospel workers, both lay and ordained. I want us to help in meeting that challenge. There are lots of skeptics out there who will say, tell him he's dreaming. And yeah, I am. But I think the God of the Bible is a God who encourages us to dream. I think Jesus' parables of the kingdom are an encouragement to dream and to dream big. You know, he talks about how the seed of the gospel, so small and unimpressive, has great power to transform lives and communities and revive churches and topple empires. And so, while not despising the day of small things, not wanting to presume on God's blessing, I want us to pray for growth. I want us to plan for growth. I want us to expect great things of God and attempt great things for God. So let me invite you to come and dream with me for a moment. Let me share some of my dreams. You might want to close your eyes, but you don't have to. I see an evening congregation planted from Barney's in the Anglican Church in Prospect. There are mostly young people, not entirely, but mostly uni students and young adults, keen to follow Jesus and grow as disciples. There are people exploring the gospel and coming to faith. The worship is joy-filled and heartfelt. There's strong Bible teaching and a hunger for God's word. Alongside the service, there's a meal, and around the table, conversations are rich. There's a lot of love and laughter. And following the meal, there's a ministry training time. Members of the congregation stay on, but others from churches around the city come to be trained and equipped to serve Jesus in their families and workplaces and churches. I see us building relationships of trust with the existing congregation at St. Cuthbert's and beginning to work together in partnership. I see local families, young families from the Prospect area coming along so that the church can be revitalized and restored to a thriving parish. I see us here at Barney's leaning into our local community, prayer walking and door knocking, serving at Kilkenny Primary School through mentoring of kids and other ways. I see the church building restored and the site developed with new toilets and a fully functioning kitchen. I see us connecting with and serving local residents through community meals and a play group and working bees. I hear neighbors in Croydon saying, "We don't believe what they believe, but we're so thankful they're here." And I see people starting to come to services and midweek courses and groups, people who find a place of belonging and who do begin to believe. I see us growing more and more as a church that is inclusive of all, expressing the diversity of cultures and languages that are present in our community, and leading the way in offering a place of genuine belonging to people with disability and neurodivergence. I see a church that is devoted to prayer and the scriptures and mission. I see the majority of Barney's members coming to our church prayer meetings as an expression of our dependence on God. I see the majority of members established in healthy habits of personal prayer and Bible reading and other spiritual practices so that they're deepening their relationship with Jesus and becoming more like him. I see the majority of members committed to a small group in which they're growing in their knowledge of God's word and its application to every aspect of their lives. I see us running termly evangelistic courses through which people are regularly joining the church community and coming to faith in Christ. I see us helping to revitalize other parishes around the city and continuing to send people we love to serve Jesus in other parts of the world. You can open your eyes if you close them. And next week, I'm going to tell you about the progress that's already being made towards some of these things, some of the plans that we have for next year and beyond. But I'm really hoping that something of that vision resonates with you, that in some way it excites you. I'm guessing it may scare you, some of you. That's okay. But I really, really want to hear from you. What do you think? What do you love? What do you hate? What needs to be part of this vision that I haven't mentioned? Can you see a part that you can play as you look to the future for our church? And if not, what could that be? What might it look like for you to pursue this focus of prayerfulness? How do you think we can grow over this coming year as a truly prayerful people? As I said earlier, we're going to be arranging to catch up with people over the coming month to look at personal discipleship plans. And as part of that, we want to ask, what do you think? What do you think of this vision? What do you think of the plans that we're going to share over the next couple of weeks? And where do you see your part in all of this? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes now to just reflect, to process some of that, to think, pray, begin to ask those questions. Where does this resonate? What part can I play? What would I add or change? I'll give you 2 minutes to do that, and then we'll sing a final song.